9:22 will be, you know, following our lesson. 9:22. Jesus paid it all. See from the notes, I'm going to do a little study from the book of Ephesians. I titled this lesson just a walk through Ephesians, and of course, key on the word walk, and you can see it's used 7 times in the book of Ephesians. I'm just going to get us started this evening, and just halfway through the notes, or at least the first couple things. This section first, it's not the introduction to the book of Ephesus, but in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin at verse 17, and just go through verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Then he describes the walk of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Interesting phrase, one that I key on every so often when I read this section. In verse 19, it says, who being past feeling. One of the saddest words in the Bible. You reach a point of being past feeling. One, I don't have a lesson on this, on just that word, but on that phrase, the saddest words of the Bible, but I think of others. But this one always comes to mind. Having someone being past feeling. In other words, the gospel can't reach them. Past feeling. Another illustration would be Felix in Acts 24, where Paul preaches to him. Felix says, you know, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. Among the saddest words of the Bible. Then you think about Agrippa in Acts 26. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Among the saddest words of the Bible. Someone that we've been past feeling. You don't have a convenient season, I'll call. Almost persuaded. So now we come to this book of Ephesians. Paul writes the letter. He's in prison in Rome, about the year AD 62, early 60s. Paul knows these brethren because he stopped there at the end of his second missionary journey. He converted in that missionary journey many people in the area of Ephesus, particularly Priscilla and Aquila. And then now after their conversion, and Paul goes on, continues his journey, and he leaves Priscilla and Aquila there to strengthen the brethren. And then Paul continues his journey to Antioch. Then on a third missionary journey, he stops back by Ephesus, visits the brethren. He's teaching. He's baptizing many. And in Acts 19, verse 10, says, Paul continued there by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So there was a very successful meeting when on that second missionary journey, and then on the third, he stays for a couple of years. And then in Acts 19, verse 20, says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So very successful. After Ephesus, Paul continues his journey, this time to Rome. And in Acts 28, verse 17, he's in prison, but he's allowed to receive visitors, continues preaching to them, and he sends this letter back to the brethren in Ephesus. So quite a strong affection for this congregation. because he established the church there and then went back on that third journey and spent 2 years with them, and very successful. But there's a theme that runs through the letter, at least one theme, and that's that he uses that word walk. So now that they're Christians, he says, I want to tell you about this walk that you have in Christ Jesus. Walk, and put by definition, it signifies the general course of life. Let me tell you about how you're to live, daily life. Let me tell you about the conduct that you should have. Let me share with you this activity of Christianity. Let me tell you about this walk. So in this letter, he concerns himself with our attitude and our action as we walk with God. So it's a lesson not only for the brethren in Ephesus, excuse me, but for us. So let's take a walk through through this letter to Ephesus. Number one, he says in chapter 2, verse 2, in time past, he reminds them, you walked according to the course of this world. In time past. Verse 1 says, and you he's quickened, who dead in trespasses and sins. So in time past, there was this situation or this relationship with God that you have, but you were living in trespasses and sin, but God has quickened you or made you alive. So now we want to know, what kind of walk was that when you were dead in trespasses and sins? And then this is what they walked away from. So from God's perspective, this in time past, walking according to the course of this world, in verse 1, it's described as you were dead in trespasses and sin. I wonder if someone that wasn't a Christian read that, they might say, dead? What do you mean I'm dead? I'm alive. I'm breathing. Inhale, exhale. I'm walking around. What do you mean I'm dead? I'm physically alive. I'm very active. What dead? What definition? It means you're not spiritually alive. If you're dead in trespasses and sins, it means you're not living a Christian life. If you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're unsaved. You're unforgiven. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Adds to the definition in verse 2. You walked according to the course of this world. Of course I walked according to the course of this world. I live here. one that's not a Christian might read that and make that conclusion and just say, I'm very active in this world. I'm walking according to the course of this world. Yes. I'm concerned. It means I'm concerned about my success on earth. I'm concerned about daily living. I'm concerned about providing for my family. I'm mindful of earthly things. The way that I'm living, it's okay for here. But Paul would say, but it's not okay for hereafter. Then he adds a third definition or description of being dead in trespasses and sins. You fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind in verse 3. In other words, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm living my life the way I want to live it. I'm not God conscious, or if I am, I just think, there's a higher power, there's somebody up there, but I don't give it a lot of attention. I'm just living according to the course of this world. I do my job, take care of my family. I'm very happy with my life, the way I'm doing things. And so when Paul says you're dead in trespasses and sin, not just talking about those who are wretched or lawbreakers or vile or criminal. He's including those who are law-abiding. And who are dead in trespasses and sin are those who are community, would include those who are community-minded, volunteers, PTA members. service club members, nice people. Those who are dead in trespasses and sin would include those who are benevolent to the poor. They're generous contributors to society. And essentially, it would also include those who want to worship God, and they do worship, but It's under their own terms. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 2, you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And so Paul says in verse 3, interesting phrase, among whom also we all. And Paul says, yeah, me too. There was a time that I walked according to the course of this world. There was a time when I was dead in trespasses and sins. And so he says, we all had our conversation or our walk in times past. You know, Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yep, we all, we're all. Me? Yeah, we, on our own, we didn't measure up to God's standard. We couldn't formulate a plan for our own salvation that God would accept. So God provided for us what we could not provide for ourselves. And so Paul's purpose in preaching Jesus and salvation is to move people to a life in Christ. So that's why he said it back in verse 1, you, he has quickened, you were dead in trespasses and sin. That's a good, another good King James word. Quickened means made alive. I think the New King James uses that phrase. You, he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And so, and until people are convinced that your earthly life is dead in trespasses and sin, you're not going to make a move to come to Christ. I need to convince you, in the language of Paul here, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You're not spiritually alive. And until I can convince you of that, you're not going to move toward Christ or toward Jesus. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man, nobody comes to the Father but by me. You're trying to get to the Father on your own terms. Paul is saying, no, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Even though you're community-minded, benevolent, gracious to people that are experiencing disasters. You ran to their aid. Yeah, but you're dead in trespasses and sin. So there's good news. These Ephesian brethren were convinced by Paul's preaching and they obeyed the gospel message. So that's that phrase in verse 1. You, he has quickened or made alive who were dead. Verses 4 and 5 adds to that good news aspect. These are not all in your notes. But verses 4 and 5, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive together in Christ. By grace ye are saved. So, dead versus made alive. Unsaved versus saved. This world versus another world, a spiritual world. My will versus God's will. You were, and Paul says, I was there too. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but thank God he made us alive in Christ Jesus through God who is rich in mercy. Great love quickened us together in Christ. So now, from that next phrase, then Paul introduces the look at the Christian walk. So that first section is how we used to walk, in other words, my way. And now Paul says, now we want to walk God's way. So I'll just take this next step, point number two, and then we'll stop and continue this in a couple of weeks. Point number two, in chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You get some people saying, you know, my Christianity or my religion is just helping others. So that's their religion, their theology. God should be pleased with that. God should accept that. I just want to be nice to everybody. I'm just going to go about doing good. Yeah, but what about worship? History. What about remembering Jesus? What about assembling? What about loving God with heart, soul, mind, and strength? What about these kinds of things? So So God has created good in Christ Jesus, meaning now we are alive in Christ, created good works in Christ Jesus. God's ordained them that we should walk in them. So now the question is, what are some of those good works? You're familiar with a couple of these. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes came and asked him, what's the first commandment or the greatest commandment of all? What's the best that I can be? Jesus answered, the first commandment, or the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy... The second is like this: thou shalt love your neighbors yourself. On these two hang the law of the prophets. So I don't have to think about, I wonder what good works God's created for me. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So whatever Jesus has said or whatever Jesus has commanded for us, that's what I want to do. Those are works that are ordained by God. Jesus said, keep my commandments. So these are things that I didn't make up. Wasn't my idea to go this way or that way. No, God created me in Christ Jesus for good works, which he created. So whatever Jesus says to do. So I have things that I have to do and things I have to show, things I have to tell. Whatever we do in our walk as Christians is designed to give God glory. This makes our walk different than walking according to the course of the world. Here's an opposite way to walk, he begins with. In Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, always walking good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The works that we do are designed by God, and they're designed to give glory to him. Then another phrase I like and enjoy is in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The Hebrew writer said, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. And then an interesting phrase, and things that accompany salvation. Things that accompany salvation. I can't just say, God, thank you for my salvation. Now I'll just go my merry way. Things that accompany salvation, what are they? He said, though we thus speak, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you show toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. There are things that we do that accompany salvation. There are works that God created for us to do as we live our life in Christ Jesus. Love God, love our neighbors, keep the commandments, do what Jesus said. So we don't walk according to the course of the world, according to our own way. We walk God's way. God has designed that, and that service gives him glory. So we'll stop there for this evening. Next week, Lord willing, on Sunday evening is our first Sunday of the month. We'll have our singing and devotion time together. And then from tonight, Lord willing, the walk through Ephesians. You're subject to it if you're not obeyed already. It's the last words of Jesus while he was on earth right before he ascended back to the Father. It said in Matthew 28, beginning verse 18, all authority, everything, been given unto me. All the authority. You don't appeal to anybody else for the way that you walk. He has all the authority been given unto him in heaven and on earth. He says, go into the world and make disciples of the nations. Make disciples. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So there's a message that we extend, a good news message, because God provided for us what we could not provide for ourselves. So we extend that invitation. If you haven't obeyed that good news gospel message by being baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity. You want to ask brethren for strength and encouragement, we can certainly honor that request. So let's stand together as our custom is. Your desire, your resolve, is obey that gospel message. Just let it be known at the close of this song. Number 9.